Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day and this time we live in. We ask, Father, that today and for this conference, that you bless us with a deep revelation of spiritual reality. We thank you, Father, that in receiving that we'll be able to rise above and rise into that glorious position in Christ that we're called to, a position we must be in if we are going to fulfill our destiny. So we give you all praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to preach about 5 years' worth of teachings in 60 minutes, so get your seatbelt on. I'm going to speak to you about the spiritual realities of this present age. And it's extremely important that we get our vision up and that we receive a revelation of the Father's heart, a revelation of the Father's plan. And we need to understand that there is only one way, there only ever was one way, and we need to be in that way. Now, the dictionary defines reality as the fact, state, or quality of being real or genuine, not artificial or counterfeit. Now, in these days, as the glorious church is beginning to take legs, we also know that Satan is attempting to counterfeit the genuine, and he's attempting to lead people, many people, astray, and not only to destroy them, but also to use them as a weapon against those who are truly seeking God. So we need to be those people who have a revelation of God as he is, not as people say he is, not as man ascends to in mental ascension to what he is, but who he really is to know him. That is the key to all things. I'm going to share quite a few things, briefly though, concerning key spiritual realities that we need to know. We need to have abiding in our heart if we are going to overcome in all things in this last hour, because the dividing line has been drawn, and the plumb line that we have is the revelation of God's Word. I'm going to touch on that more than a few times. One thing I want to mention briefly, and something that very much needs to be understood in this last hour, and that is that as we enter into the third day and the anointing of God is being poured forth in a very special way, we can understand that we have the mind of Christ, we have the Spirit of Christ abiding within us, and consequently, between those two things, we don't have to grasp everything with our mind in each second, because as the anointing goes forth, the incorruptible seed of God's Word, then those seeds, as I go on to explain, as people spend time in the presence of God, those seeds will be brought to one's remembrance by the Holy Spirit as it applies to them. That's very important. Because as things accelerate in this age, we are not going to be able to handle things with a normal thought process. It's going to have to be the Holy Spirit revealing the Word of God to our spirit, and then the out of our spirit man impulses rising up that influence our mind and bring spiritual thoughts to go with those things. That order has to be in place. So that's important. So don't be concerned. It might be today, it might be tomorrow, it might be next month. But eventually God will make sure by his Spirit that you get everything out of this conference that he ordained you to have. So just take faith in that. I want to share a word with you, some of the words the Father has spoken concerning this time, concerning his heart. And it's very important for us both individually and corporately. He said, "Let all preconceived notions and thoughts as to what I have called each of you to be pass away. And take as your only reality the revealed knowledge of my will. For in this last hour I am raising up many who will walk in the fullness of all that I have for them, and they shall surely walk in a degree of power that has never before been seen in the earth, both individually and corporately as my body. It is indeed time for the world to see the unlimited power of Almighty God. It is time for my sons and daughters to go forth in the power of my anointing to devastate the works of Satan. For too long the reality of my people has been found in that which is temporal. But truly I say to you, that day is at an end. For in this last hour my truth shall have the spotlight to himself, and all those who are conformed to his perfect image shall ride on the coattails of his glory. And truly I say to you, all darkness shall be obliterated by the light, and men whose lying hearts have mocked and scorned me shall no longer be able to stand in the face of my reality." So Jesus is reality. For truly I say to you, Jesus is Lord of all. And the magnificence and majesty which shall be seen in this last hour shall affect the earth as a flood, and my glory shall indeed fill the earth. So again, a word to get our vision lifted up, to understand that God is Almighty God and that Jesus is Lord. So I'm going to deal with a few things that are very important. I can't spend a lot of time on each of them, but they're very, very key things, and things that every Christian has to have a revelation abiding in their heart in this last hour. Luke 10:27 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Now, first of all, we have to come to understand that our God is an absolute God. That's very, very key. And this scripture, the Holy Spirit gave me that name, the divine requirement. Everything that is written in the Word of God adheres to this principle. In other words, loving the Lord your God with everything you have. Everything written in the scriptures is based on this principle. That's why when people try to read the scriptures, when their hearts aren't wholly given, they make a mess. They come up with doctrines, they come up with preconceived notions of God and His character, which are false. But God is raising up a people in the earth whose hearts are wholly given, and He is going to empower them to be revelators of His character, of His heart, of His love. And of course, first of all, He's doing this work in the church. Judgment begins at the household of God, and then the world will be won. But first of all, He's going to clear up some things in the church that have hindered things. So remember then, the divine requirement, everything in the Word of God adheres to this principle. It was written with that as the root, to love the Lord your God with all your heart. A heart wholly given to God is the key to understanding all things. Now, what does all things mean to each one of us? It means all the things we need to know and understand as we fulfill our kingdom service. That's what it means. It doesn't mean we have to know all things. It means, but it does mean we'll know what we need to know when we need to know it. Very important. And I'm going to touch a bit on that. I haven't got a lot of time to go into godly desire and self-desire. But I'll tell you, every child of God walking the face of the earth is going to fall on one side or the other in this last hour, because if the church maintains the leaven of sin to any degree, then ultimately they're going to be consumed by that leaven. The good news is that if our hearts are wholly given, then pure and godly desire is continually developed, and then we'll walk in that. But it's going to be one way or the other. Again, Malachi said in this last hour that we will be able to distinguish between those who love God and those who don't love God, between those who serve Him and those who don't serve Him, or those who truly serve Him. So it's very, very important. Again, you have to get a revelation of the absoluteness of God. We are coming to the end of this dispensation. And so consequently, God is raising up a people who will abide in spiritual reality in this last hour. Turn over to Ephesians 3. Now, Ephesians, of course, is an extremely important letter to the glorious church. And just before I start reading that, in chapter 3, the letter starts off, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus." And I was reading that one day, and the Holy Spirit said to me, if the people of God refuse to be faithful, if they hold part back, then they might as well stop reading right here. Because everything that follows this will not apply to their lives because of their own choice. So we want to be those who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Okay, in Ephesians 3, starting in verse 14. "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man." Now that's very important. His power, His enablement. Quite simply, the only reason why the church at large has remained in a weakened state is because they have not allowed Him to enable them. They tried to do it on their own strength, even in the name of serving Him. It won't work. Now, verse 17, "So we're strengthened with power by His Spirit in the inner man, so that..." so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. Now, what's important here is, if we're not rooted and grounded in love, we will not be able to comprehend the plan of God in this last hour. Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." When I was reading that, the Holy Spirit stopped me at the end of the sea. He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see." See what? See whatever they need to see, but see at all, because there is a great spirit of deep darkness consuming the world in these days, and those in fellowship with it. And so we are either going to have hearts wholly given to God, or we are going to be consumed by the selfishness and the desire for things apart from God that is the trademark or the characteristic of the world. We need to be in the proper position. You'll find this weekend, and as you pursue the kingdom with great diligence, you will find that the only thing that matters is your positioning. And if you position yourself where God wants you positioned, you will overcome in all things. I'm going to talk a bit about that as I get to the inner chamber. In this last of the last hour, only those whose heart is pure before the Father will be able to see and understand His true and absolute kingdom purposes without exception. I was just thinking about this the other day. I wonder how many people, how many children of God even have a revelation that there will be such a thing as a glorious church or a spotless and unblemished church. Or is that just too far beyond their thinking? Well, it is too far beyond our thinking. But as we get a revelation of God's will, and as we get a revelation and receive His power, then these things become spiritual realities, and they are more real than anything you can see in the natural. God's word will come to pass concerning the church, and those who are faithful will partake in that. Now, so the first thing then was the divine requirement. You must have a revelation that you must have a heart wholly given. Now, the second key revelation is the inner chamber, the Holy of Holies. Whatever you want to call it, it doesn't matter. But what I'm talking about here is coming into the presence of God. Nothing else involved, just you one-on-one with God on His terms. Now, what I mean by that is, you come to that place, you get a revelation of what that means to you. There's no handbook you're going to pick up and find out when you're supposed to be with Him, when you're not. You're going to have to get that, and you're going to be called accountable to that. But the good news is, when you're obedient to what God reveals to you by His Spirit, there will be a constant and daily spiritual impartation which will cause you to rise above, which will cause you to be fed daily with His Word. See, the things that I'm speaking to you of, there is no other option if you want to enter into the fullness of kingdom service. People have tried, and look at what's happened. But in these days, God, again, is raising up a people whose hearts are wholly given, and they're entering in to that place of intimate fellowship with Him. The inner chamber is the place of empowerment, and it is the key to the fullness of transition into kingdom living. It is the key. The inner chamber, it's the only position from which one shall overcome in all things in this last hour. I'm not talking about hit and miss. I'm talking about overcoming in all things by the power of the Holy Spirit abiding within us. We need to keep our spirit man in dominance over our soul and body, and the way that we do that is in intimate fellowship with the Father and His Word. It's the only way. We've all tried to be holy. But this, as I said, in this time in God's presence, there is a spiritual impartation which empowers you. You can't get it anywhere else. Even with the amount of glorious teaching and reading and books we have, it won't do it. That's part of the plan. But first and foremost, it's the Father's desire that you come into that intimate fellowship with Him. And in that place comes a spiritual transaction that allows everything else to fall into place. And when you partake of the fullness of His provision, then you will surely grow spiritually. And you will surely come into a place of having a revelation of what spiritual reality truly is in this hour. Now, I'll just give you this word. I like to read this word because the Father Himself defined what He meant by the inner chamber. The inner chamber is that place wherein one communes with Me in secret. And it means shutting out the world and shutting in themselves unto Me. The inner chamber is not first and foremost a time frame. It is first and foremost a proper heart position before me as each new day begins. As one abides in the proper heart position, then they shall surely be doing perfectly all that I require of them concerning the inner chamber. Therefore, let each one of my children walk in the manner in which I have assigned them concerning the inner chamber. And I mentioned again about this inner chamber, this time of intimacy with God being the fullness, the key to the fullness of transition. Intimacy is defined, it's characterized by pronounced closeness of friendship or association, deeply personal. Fullness, the state or quality of being full. Did the scripture not say that we were to be filled with up to the fullness of God? Yes. Becoming partakers of the divine nature. See, these things are spiritual reality. These scriptures have always been there for us, but now God is revealing himself in his absoluteness. And consequently, we're going to see in a new light the reality of what he means and, of course, his ability to bring us to that place. Transition, the act or state of passing from one place, condition, or action to another. The time, period, or place of such passage. Each one of us are in transition right now. We can talk about transition from the second day to the third day. We can talk about transition from the world and fellowship with it to the kingdom. But we are headed, those who truly love God, are headed to the fullness of their destiny in Christ. And I'll tell you, the times upon us and the time that remains in this dispensation are incomprehensible to the natural mind. God is going to do some things that we couldn't even imagine. And it's his desire to devastate Satan. It's his desire to set the captives free. And I don't care how impossible something looks to you in your own individual life right now, whether it's personally or whether it's people you're praying for, you hold fast the vision or the revelation that God's given you, because the day is coming when that power is going to go forth, that fire is going to go forth. I'm going to talk about the fire going forth, and you're going to see results. So don't be moved by what you see. Don't be a people who are moved by your five physical senses. Just be a people who put yourself in a position to receive a revelation and then hold fast to it. Because what God says will surely come to pass. The principles of the kingdom are very simple, but the understanding of them is predicated upon one having a continually deeper revelation of the absoluteness of God. There is no partiality in God. We have looked at him that way up until this time, to a degree. And it's been very limiting for God in that matter. But God is in that matter. But God is raising up a people who have a revelation of his absoluteness. And what he says, he means, and what he means, he says. Now, six realities of life in the inner chamber. Again, these are all things that we need to have a revelation of in this last hour, because this is the conflict of the ages. This is the conflict of the kingdoms. And God is going to accomplish his purpose and his will. And he is going to exalt the name of Jesus. And he is going to cause a spotless and unblemished church to be raised up. So again, these are realities that we need to have in our life, and they will come to you, and they will expand daily to you as you spend time in fellowship with God. Number one, every child of God must continually seek to come to the place wherein they have a revelation of each and every aspect of the glorious covenant they have with the Father in Christ. That is extremely important. When Jesus died, when he shed his blood on the cross, and all the things he accomplished for us in that, it just seems to make sense to me that we're going to need to be walking in the fullness of our inheritance in Christ, the fullness of that empowerment, in order to accomplish the purpose of God. Otherwise, then God would have wasted even one drop of Jesus' blood. Well, of course, that's not the case. So again, we have to have a revelation that of the fullness of our covenant. And, you know, sometimes we get to a place where we have a revelation of one aspect of the covenant, and then another one we fall down in. But in this last hour, God is going to reveal to us the fullness of our inheritance in Christ, and we're going to walk in it. And they're going to see the living Christ because of that. Number two, as one enters into the fullness of their salvation or inheritance in Christ, in this third day, they are going to have to be continually clothed and empowered by the precious blood of Jesus. Now, the first step to being clothed with that precious blood is to have a revelation of the cross. It's to have a revelation of the power of that blood and the necessity of that blood. Boy, that's important. We cannot be a people caught up in sin consciousness or condemnation or anything else that comes from the devil. We need to realize that if we trip up, then we just confess our sins, knowing then that we are cleansed from all unrighteousness. That's the way you keep your motivation righteous. That's the way you do it. And when you come into a place of fellowship with God and you remain in that place, then when something does try to come up that is unrighteously motivated, then it can easily be put down, be replaced with godly desire, and you move on. You see, if we're consistent in obedience to God, in our fellowshipping with Him, these things all become a spontaneous manifestation of that heart wholly given that's abiding within us. If we try to do it ourselves, we fall. Number three, gaining and maintaining a deep revelation of the precious blood of Jesus and its powerful effects is the key to consistent fellowship in the inner chamber. Why? Because if there's any condemnation, any area of fear, mistrust, then we won't enter into the inner chamber. Why? Because the flesh has this attitude that God's going to club us or hurt us or be critical of us. He's not that way. The devil tries to perpetrate that lie so that people will pull back. But I'll tell you, in this hour, last hour, the people of God have to have a revelation that if they trip up again, if they slip up, that they run to God, not from Him. Because running from God in this last hour can only lead to great danger and trouble. And it's a lie. It's the believing of a lie. Number four, all true kingdom work is predicated upon one being solely in Christ. Didn't Jesus say, you can do nothing apart from me? Nothing can be done that's considered true service to God apart from the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Christ in us. Number five, if we have the deep assurance in our heart that we are in the center of the Father's will and purpose, then it is certain that we shall be found standing or overcoming in all things. See, all these things I'm speaking to you are the result of proper fellowship with God, with the Father and His Word. And they will spontaneously manifest in your life. To have that assurance that you're standing in the center of God's will is the most wonderful thing. Because there's a lot of people out there who believe they're actually deceived. They believe they're in the center of God's will, and they're not. I'm going to talk a bit about that later. I'm going to mention a bit about the Civil War. Number six, every child of God needs to know and understand what it is to be loved by the Father. Having a revelation of the Father's perfect love is the catalyst to one abiding in an absolute trust or faith in Him. That is so important. Again, all these things are the result of your time in fellowship with God, because that's where He imparts His heart to you. That's where you come to know Him as He desires to be known. And then you see, in receiving that, then you can go and impart the Father's love. And I'm speaking to people who know this, I know, but we need to be people who have a revelation of what or who love really is. We need to understand that as we go forth and impart the Father's love, there will be great restoration come forth in this last hour to those who are led across our path. You know, it's the love of God going forth, but it will heal, it will restore, not only on a natural or physical sense, but it will restore a person to the will of God for their life. We have been given much in this last hour. We are the most blessed generation ever to walk the face of this earth. But I'll tell you this, to whom much is given, much is required. And we will have to walk in the fullness of all that God has blessed us with. And we will. Another important element, true spiritual environments or spiritual environments. Now, the most important spiritual environment that you'll experience is what I just talked about. Your one-on-one fellowship with God. That creates an environment where your heart is continually purified, your heart is soft, and it's always ready to receive the entrance of His Word. And so you walk in a place of revelation, and then things snowball from there. Because when God is creating a true spiritual environment, maybe I better define that, a true spiritual environment is defined simply as a place where the Father and His Word can be all they desire to be in any given moment. Now, see, we haven't experienced that too much in the church at large, have we? There's all sorts of things going on. But see, this is what's going to happen. True spiritual environments are being raised up, and God is going to be able to come on the scene and do what he wants to do. And that's not, it's any number of things. Sometimes he just comes just to love his people and bless his people and prepare his people. Whatever he wants to do, though, he won't be limited by people who are walking in self-desire with ungodly motives. In a true spiritual environment, an environment where the word of God is going forth exactly the way God would have it go forth, the incorruptible seed of his word will be planted in the hearts of the people. And as they go forth in obedience to spend time with him in the inner chamber, then he is able to enlighten them further on the seeds that have been imparted to their heart. Now that, again, I mentioned that earlier, it's extremely important. It's another opportunity to exercise faith. And so when we do that, you will know what you need to know, and you will be walking by revelation. And it's just a whole purifying process. That's why people who really do have a revelation of God's plan really are drawn very, very clearly towards holiness, a great desire for holiness, and to walk in faith and love and obedience. And with every passing moment, not that you always have to do this consciously, but they will check and see if they're in the faith. Am I exercising faith in God here? Am I walking by revelation? Am I bringing every thought captive to the revelation he's revealed to me? And it's a spontaneous flowing. And you cause you to rise above the different distractions and things that the devil tries to bring. Very important. The fullness of time is defined as that moment the Father's perfect purpose enters into manifestation in the physical realm. Well, I'll tell you, God has a perfect purpose for the church. And we're at a time now like no other. I mean, obviously that's true chronologically. But the fact is, spiritually, this is a time like no other. And this is the time where those who truly desire to walk by faith, those who are truly seeking first the kingdom, will be empowered up to that next step. There's a large gap between where we've been, step to step. It's a large gap. And only those who are walking by faith will receive the empowerment to get there. You can't get there on your own strength. Another important element, and this, actually turn over to 1 Corinthians 3. I want to talk to you a bit about vessels of fire. I think you'll find the theme of this conference is fire. But after all, what does the scripture say? Our God is a consuming fire. In Deuteronomy 4, 23 and 24, it says, "Watch yourselves lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you. And make for yourselves a graven image in the form or anything against which the Lord your God commanded you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." An idol is defined as anything or anyone that takes preeminence over the Father and his word in our lives and ministries. Anything or anyone. That's absolute. Again, the time spent with God will reveal those things to us. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 3, now remember, we're talking about vessels of fire. Starting in verse 10, "According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident. For the day will show it." What day is that? This day. "Because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work." Did anybody ever stop and wonder where the fire was going to come from? We're going to deal with that. This is that day that Paul was talking about, and the fullness of time for that day. So share a few more words with you from the Father. "If I were to give you one word, my beloved ones, to define the chief characteristic of your ministry." Now he's talking about the remnant. He's talking about the spotless and unblemished church. He's talking about those who are seeking first the kingdom. He says, if I were to give you one word, my beloved ones, to define the chief characteristic of your ministry in your remaining time in the earth, it would be fire. This fire will shed light where there is darkness, refine hearts wholly given, or polish, and consume all that is not of me. It is a holy fire of purification that will reveal my presence and establish my true character in the hearts of who are truly seeking me. Those of my children who have given themselves wholly to me, I shall make vessels of fire. Fire that will both expose and consume all that is apart from me and bless or empower all that is for me. As they speak my words in the power of the resurrection and the authority of the ascension, that is the fullness of the ascension life, seated with the Father, or seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places, then the hearts of the rebellious ones shall surely be cut to the quick, and the fire on the words which they speak in my name shall both expose and devastate the deepest desires of their hardened hearts and darkened minds. Now, just one note here. The fact is, well, I'll go on. Truly I say to you, it is time to proceed. That is a spiritual reality. God is moving and about to move in a way that only those who truly love him will be able to discern and move with him. It is time to proceed, and as my judgment of my household intensifies with each passing day, you will see many who were thought to be beyond reproach by my people fall, and all of their works which did not proceed from obedience to my word and my spirit shall be exposed. For as the end of this age draws to a close, every one of my children must know beyond a shadow of a doubt that any form of dependence upon the darkened wisdom of the evil one must end in death and corruption. That wisdom would be those things that false doctrines that have been brought forth and anything that's come into the church through the understanding of man. He is coming to build a spotless and unblemished church. For indeed my church shall be spotless and unblemished before the nations, and they shall see the reality of my presence to a continually greater degree. Until this sinful world can no longer contain the righteousness and holiness of my beloved children, and then I shall catch them away. And darkness shall have its final hour, and so shall my eternal purpose be fulfilled, as I have proclaimed clearly in my word. Again, the reality of this day. God has a plan, and we're going to be part of it. See, only those who are truly rebellious in their heart are going to run from God in this last hour. There may be people out there that you know right now that seem rebellious. They seem taken with themselves. But God is going to use you as a vessel of fire. And as I said before, don't ever give up on anybody, regardless of what they're doing now or what it looks like. Because it is certain that the power of this baptism of fire, this third day anointing, is going to cause great things to happen. Things that we're not used to seeing. Always desired, but not used to seeing, but we will. A couple of visions here. Some of this outpouring of God's Spirit and the outpouring of this fire, this holy fire, is going to cause some things to happen. In this vision, I saw a beautiful church building. It appeared outwardly that it was a very prosperous church. But then I saw the consuming fire of the Holy Spirit as a whirlwind, and it passed over and through this church, and all that was left was charred and smoking rubble. See, again, we talk about the glorious church. And we talk about the manifested presence of God in our midst. And it's going to cause everything to be confronted. Now, there's the positive and there's the negative as far as the positioning of the person. But if you're walking in that place of obedience, then that fire will bless and empower you. And you can rejoice in that. But all things will be uncovered in this hour. On the positive side, I saw many small fires begin to pop up throughout the nations. I saw them like little fires. If you looked at a big map of the world, there's just little fires, you know, spread out and all over the world, seemingly disjointed. So I saw many small fires begin to pop up throughout the nations, and Satan was completely defenseless and unable to do anything to hinder or stop these fires from continually expanding. And then the vision went on like this. Those fires were expanding. That really symbolizes people having a revelation of God's plan, continuing on in faith, love, and obedience. And they started to get larger and larger, almost to the point of bonfires. But the best part was at the end, there came a point in time where all of a sudden, supernaturally, these fires were linked by the Holy Spirit worldwide, and the glorious church rose up. So although we know and have known for some time that God plans to have a glorious church, and we've seen glimpses, it's going to appear to those who haven't been in the right position as if the glorious church comes on the scene suddenly. And it will be suddenly in that sense, but except that it'll just be one more step for us. But I'll tell you, when this thing begins to take legs, it is going to turn this world upside down. Now, I'm going to share with you a vision that God gave me some time ago, and it really dictates the place where we're at now, spiritually speaking. I saw a large battlefield, and on it were two opposing forces. On the one side were the demonic spirits sent to hinder and stop those called to lead or serve God's people in this last hour. Now, that's easy enough to picture, as I'm sure we've experienced enough of them. These evil spirits were extremely ferocious and vile. And the three of those spirits that really jumped out have really come forth, especially in these last few years, are terror, panic, and disheartenment. And I'm sure that you have to understand this is a different hierarchy of evil spirits. The devil in his deception still believes he's going to win, I suppose, so he's saving his quote-unquote best for last. But the fact is, and they are vile, and they are dangerous, there's no question about it. But the good news is we are rooted and grounded in love, then we're able to rise above this. But that's the key. Really, the devil's chief aim, as far as getting you off track, is to provoke you to walk apart from love. It's that simple, but it's that all-consuming. So we need to guard our hearts with all diligence. All right, so we have these on this battlefield, we have these evil spirits. I saw them on one end. On the other end of the battlefield, there were a number, not all, of those called to a position of leadership at the church in this last hour. Next, the Holy Spirit. And to me, those were people who were already out there. They're already out there. They've been out in ministry. Next, the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to see a third group standing between these two armies. And the Father spoke to me and said, contained in this group are my holy and faithful remnant. Now, what does that mean? That means those who are true, it doesn't matter what their position is, it means it's their heart attitude towards God and the fact that they're truly seeking after God. And they've maintained that place of faith, obedience, love, in obscurity, perhaps. It makes no difference. The fact is they've been obedient to God. Very important. They have remained in the place of perfect intercession, that's faith, love, and obedience, as vessels of elevation, that's whether it's through prayer or whether it's ministering the word, for those I have called to various offices of the fivefold ministry and who are now standing on one end of the battlefield. Many in this group have refused to lay their lives down completely for their brethren. And thus they have been held captive unknowingly, although they should have known, by the opposing forces on the other end of the battlefield. So we've got this one end of the battlefield with these people who are out there believing they're in the will of God and believing they're in the army and so-called fighting a battle. And then we have this other group right in the middle as a hedge. Okay, so and these other ones, though, have been held captive. They've been held captive by, well, simply for the reason that they've held on to self-desire, they've held on to self-agenda to some degree. And we've seen many, many ministries and many, many churches established, but still basically on the foundation of self. And of course, it's allowed all manner of chaos. But see, God's going to clear this situation up. All right. This captivity has caused them to be blinded greatly by the deceiving tactics of the enemy forces. And this has led to much misunderstanding towards and even attack against the very ones I have situated between them and the powers of darkness for both their protection and edification in this hour. Now, we understand that, and we're going to see this progress in the days ahead. We're going to see a civil war. It's not going to be a long war, because people who are going to hold to their self-agenda, their false doctrines, and whatever, are going to come against the glorious church. But the fact is, those in the glorious church are rooted and grounded in love, and they will stay in that position and do their best for these people, even though they're slinging arrows through their misunderstanding, through their ignorance, although, again, they shouldn't be ignorant. All right. Now, the aim of Satan was to first cause division or strife and then move in to destroy vast numbers of those called to minister in this last of the last hour. There are many people out there, even people who have come through the second day with great callings in their life, even still with great purpose in this final hour. And there are many people who have not yet come on the scene with great purpose. Satan is trying to destroy them, and that would be us. He is trying to destroy us. He can no longer afford to just seemingly hinder. He has to try and destroy, because once the people of God have received and are walking in the fullness of the anointing of God, he cannot stop them. They will be an unstoppable force. I'll go on to explain. But his aim was to cause division and strife, and then move on to destroy many. But my holy remnant has refused at all cost to themselves to depart from the secret place of my presence, again, the inner chamber. And thus they have withstood every attempt of the evil one to de-elevate them, in other words, bring them down from the mountain, or that place where you receive revelation. De-elevate them from that holy place of abiding in my love. Because of this, many of those who have held to their stubbornness and rebelliousness shall be delivered. For I shall lead them into a deep and thorough repentance by my great and awesome power. And thus they shall no longer attack those of my precious handmaidens and bondservants that I had sent to them for their protection and preparation, in order that they might enter into the fullness of their calling. The mercy of God is so great. And even those who have been used to persecute those who are truly seeking God will have a time where they can repent and be delivered from their religious attitudes and any other bondage that they're in. Now I shall remove this, in these days, this is the time we're talking about. Now I shall remove this hedge of protection from the position it has been up until now. That's that holy remnant that's interceding, not just through prayers, but just through their daily actions and obedience to God. They are walking as a living intercession in the earth. And this will have one of two immediate effects on those in the battlefield. All those who are truly desirous of walking in the fullness of my call upon their lives must repent and leave behind every element of fear and self-desire that has allowed the evil one to blind their eyes concerning my glorious plan to elevate my church into her proper position of authority and manifested glory in the earth. As these ones repent, I shall surely lead them to where they need to be and to those they are to be with. Those glorious connections. That's being led to the true spiritual environments. That's being connected with the people or the places where you're supposed to be by the revelation of God. And not only to be led there, but then for that relationship, whether it's an individual relationship or a corporate relationship, that relationship then to be sustained by the Holy Spirit to the end. That's what a glorious connection is. It doesn't stop. Once it happens, it's forever. All right. So as these ones repent, I shall surely lead them to where they need to be and those they are to be with. And in their obedience, they shall take their proper position in the midst of the congregations of the righteous. In other words, they'll start to walk in the fullness of their kingdom service and fulfill their true destiny in Christ. But those on the battlefield who refuse to repent and who in their arrogance and pride have been deceived into believing that they are already in the center of my will for their life and ministry shall begin to perish. These ones and all those around them. Because in many cases, when people are out there and they're in a position of delegated authority, but they're not speaking the truth of God, people whose eyes are fixed in any way on flesh and blood before God, any form of a spirit of idolatry working, they will affix themselves to flesh and blood. So they will be drawn in to align themselves with these people. And so God will, he's gathering, you see. He's gathering those who are like-minded. And every heart will be revealed. Nobody will end up in the wrong position except by their own choice. Let's make that clear. The onus is on each individual believer to make that decision. And believe me, God has made every provision, and His great grace, His great mercy is continually being poured forth for people to come into the proper spot. So, and again, one thing you have to remember when I'm speaking about these things, because this is rather a condensed version, but the fact is there's three words you have to keep in mind when you're looking at any situation, and that is the anointing factor. What that means is, okay, we can look out at things now, and we can see things, and some things don't seem to budge. But when the Spirit of God comes on the scene in the way He's going to be able to come on the scene in this last hour, that is going to factor into the equation. And so a lot of people that are in very strict religious bondage are going to be set free, and they're going to have their eyes opened. And they may have to drop 20 or 30 years of ministry, but they'll step into their kingdom position. That is the mercy and grace of God. But they must repent. Okay. So they'll begin to perish at the hands of the forces which were situated at the other end of the battlefield. That's these demonic hordes that the devil is going to release. Now keep in mind, all right, we as the church are to be seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places. The principalities and powers and all the powers of darkness in this area, then the world. But we're not supposed to be here. We're supposed to be here. See, again, it's a matter of positioning. Very, very, very important. Because I've been getting ahead of myself here. But there's a good end to this, because the devil's going to pay the price. Okay. So, for I am now going to establish my holy apostles and prophets together in the fullness of their offices, in the midst of the congregations of the righteous, my obedient ones. And they shall continue to draw or elevate all those who truly love me high up above the battlefield. And thus shall the true local glorious church begin to be established throughout the earth. See, all the things I'm speaking to you, I spoke to you about the vision of the bonfires, all these things are working together. Our job as Christians is to be holy as He is holy. Our job is to seek Him with all our heart, and we will be in the right position. In the removal of the third group, that's the holy remnant, the hedge of protection that was there, from between the other two groups, the demonic forces shall swiftly move forth to overcome those who had previously aligned themselves with them in their rebelliousness. And they will not be able to withstand the attack. Now, we're talking about children of God here. Now, why won't they be able to withstand the attack? Simply because they allowed their weapons to deteriorate and their faith to become a product of their own mental ascensions. That's to the character of God and the will of God, rather than the revealed knowledge of my word. In their perishing, they shall continue to hold steadfast to their belief that they are suffering for righteousness' sake, when in reality they are not. They actually, because of their unrighteous motivation, they've actually been deceived into believing they're in the will of God, and they're not. And now, the final effect, the third effect, and the final effect of this, the removal of the protective hedge. When this new wave, or upper echelon of evil spirits, move forth against those still in the battlefield, I shall, after a short time, see, he doesn't have an open shot. He never does. Counterattack these vile spirits with a view to their total exposure, devastation, and destruction through my holy apostles and prophets and all those with them. That's the glorious church. They will know and come against every scheme of the evil one, and this will include the exposure of the religious spirits that up until this time have had their own way to a certain degree in the midst of my people. Because of this, many captives to the structure of religion, or holding to a form of godliness, shall be gloriously set free and join forces with those already walking as my sons and daughters in the earth. Now see, the beauty of this whole thing is that God has got to clear the mess in the church up before we can win the world. I mean, we've had evangelistic efforts in the past, and thank God for everything that was done in righteousness. But it is absolutely nothing compared to what we're going to see with the release of God's power and the revelation of His love and His character. And so, again, only those who hold to a wrong position by their own choice, and I'm not going to sit here and try to explain that to you, but they will have every opportunity to repent, even those out there walk in rebelliousness and error at this point. We are the vessels of fire that will help to bring that about. All right. All right, just a few things I want to go over. Just to kind of summarize, and again, God can expand these things to you. Some of the things that are involved in the reality of this present age, God is calling the church to be filled to the point of saturation with a revelation of his purpose. Again, the inner chamber. Saturation. It makes things a lot easier when we saturate our hearts with the Word of God. It really, truly does. Maximum fruit in their true kingdom service should be the first and foremost aim and motivation for every believer as they go forth in obedience to the Father. Again, what are we in this earth for? To do the will of God and to do the will of God alone. We were bought with a great price that we might no longer live for ourselves. A simple definition of the true apostolic anointing and authority that is now being released in the church to a continually greater degree is this: the impartation of Christ all in all. We are called to do nothing apart from Christ. Again, there are apostles, there are prophets, but every last believer, every last child of God, I mean, they're only there so that all can be brought to the unity of faith. In other words, so we can all come to that place of abiding in the fullness of Christ. And so the fact is this, that this apostolic anointing is simply Christ all in all being manifested through you wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you say. That's the reality of the situation. I'll just sidetrack here just a bit. The fact is that the Father sees each and every one of us equally. Now there's a revelation that every Christian has to have. You know, one of the great downfalls of the second day was this hierarchy consciousness. It just isn't that way. Our time in the inner chamber is a spiritual transaction. It is an impartation, a fusion of the Father's heart to our heart, which causes us to be continually empowered to do all things in Christ. Every time one enters into the inner chamber, something happens, something eternal and something glorious. In the inner chamber, you will come to see yourself as the Father sees you, and ultimately, you will come to the place, as long as your heart is guarded with all diligence, where you will not fear man or devil. Now that's the empowerment of God in the inner chamber. And again, it's as you maintain proper relationship with God. In our own strength, we fall short of the glory, but in God's abiding presence, there is a supernatural impartation that causes us to abide in the fullness of our precious inheritance in Christ. Again, that is a prerequisite to overcoming in all things. We need to have a revelation and be abiding in the fullness of all that was bought for us at Calvary. In these days, every last person on the face of the earth is being brought to the point of decision, an absolute decision. Our God is an absolute God, and the decision he calls mankind to make is absolute. Choose this day whom you will serve. Rebellion will blind one to the point wherein they will actually believe they are in the center of the Father's will, while in reality they are far, far from it. The great thing, the one great thing that will provoke the spirits of rebellion and those who have aligned themselves with them is the revelation of holiness going forth in this last hour. I don't have time to go into Korah's rebellion now, but I would suggest that you read that. Moses came down from the mountain with a revelation of the holiness that God required of his people, and they said, "Who do you think you are? We're already holy." And the same thing will happen in this last hour. To truly believe, you need to see. We're called to be a people of faith. And if we're going to exercise faith, we're going to have a revelation of God's will, and then we'll see. The Father is issuing a heart call to his people to come into his presence because, quite simply, he loves you. Everything that is sown to the flesh is, in light of spiritual reality, an absolute denial of the precious blood of Jesus. That is the reality. That is the absolute reality of leaning on our own understanding, of sowing to the flesh, of living for ourselves. We're denying the blood of Jesus with every breath, with every action, with every word. We need to be a people who acknowledge God in all our ways, allowing him to direct our paths. We need to become vessels that continually impart the fire or light of God in order that people might be awakened from their deep sleep and delivered from the deep darkness that is even now beginning to encompass the world and all those in heart fellowship with it to a continually greater degree. We need to be seeking that. We need to be vessels of fire. Seek that beyond all else. Because I've seen examples, I've seen glimpses of the outpouring of this fire, and it's tremendous. It will absolutely accomplish whatever needs to be accomplished in any given moment, wherever God sends you, whatever he has you say. And we're going to see that. And the world will have great fear of the glorious church before we leave here. I'll finish with this. Four scriptures. And then some words. Psalm 75:2 says, "When I select an appointed time, it is I who judge with equity." Psalm 102:12 and 13, "But you, O Lord, abide forever, and your name to all generations. You will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to be gracious to her, for the appointed time has come." Psalm 119, 126, "It is time for the Lord to act, for they have broken your law." Habakkuk 2, "Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time." I'm here to say to you that the appointed time has come. We will see that confirmed with great signs and wonders in the earth in this day and in the church in this day. "It hastens toward the goal and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay." Not surprising then that Satan's, one of his chief schemes would be discouragement and disheartenment. Don't let in. Don't give in. Hold fast the vision, the revelation. And here are some words that the Father spoke, some of the deepest thoughts and intentions of his heart. "It is time for the cloak of religion to be torn away. It is time for the false gods and idols which have captivated the hearts of the multitudes to be destroyed. It is time for the harvest to be secured according to what each one of my children have sown to. It is time to both expose and remove from my church the ministers of corruption and perversity, those who have both ignored and mishandled my holy word. It is time for the multitudes to see the living Christ in a way which they have never been able to see him before. It is time for the strongholds which have continued to hold many of my children in bondage to be destroyed. It is time for my apostles and prophets to explode on the scene and reroute the course of an adulterous and backslidden church. It is time for my love to be shed abroad in and poured forth through the hearts of the many. It is time for all the works of iniquity to be exposed. It is time for the revelation of my sons and daughters in the earth. It is time for the fear of the Lord to reign in the hearts of all those who profess their love for me. It is time for those who have mocked and scorned my beloved son to perish at the hands of their own foolishness. It is time for the body of Christ to awaken and arise. It is time for my power and my glory to fill the earth. It is time for death and its Lord to be trampled beneath the feet of my beloved son or church, never to rise again. It is time for those who truly love me to take up their cross and thus deny themselves. It is time for faith, love, and obedience to once again be established as the foremost priority in the lives of all my children. It is time for my people to build their firm foundation on the rock of revelation knowledge, for the heavy rains are fast approaching. It is time for my people to come to the realization that my word means exactly what it says. It is time for the world to see the unlimited power of Almighty God. And just a final word, it's the word he gave me as a word of encouragement to you. Hold fast to the vision, my beloved ones, for my spotless and unblemished church is not a dream or a myth, but rather a glorious reality which shall shortly manifest itself in this physical realm. Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks and praise and honor. And we just thank you for all that you've done in these days in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.